Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we have a special Thanksgiving podcast. And our first story is The Last Thanksgiving by Meg Barkley. I have a strained relationship with Thanksgiving. I won't say I hate it, but the word dread does spring to mind. This day, others are thankful for what has been problematic for me since birth. A late November child, my birthday often aligns with the ever-shifting holiday, its Jupiterian bulk eclipsing my puny sphere. Before you get on my case, Christmas babies, let me acknowledge the greater suckiness of your nativity issues. My deepest sympathies. Moving on. A Thanksgiving birthday meant that while other children had kid-friendly parties, fun food, little friends, pin the tail on the donkey, I was often decorously celebrating with the carte du jour, old folks, and pharmaceutical table talk. It's not that I didn't like the meal. Stuffing is an underserved delight. But my favorite dinner was, and is, spaghetti, damn it. Other family members got to choose their birthday menu. Why not me? It's freaking spaghetti. What could be easier? The only explanation? You can't have spaghetti for Thanksgiving. That's code for Thanksgiving is more important than you. The Thanksgiving effect reverberated through the entire week. The days before were busy with cooking. People left town for the weekend. I could never be certain if the dearth of children at my scantily attended off-day parties was due to grandparenting obligations, or if those were merely convenient excuses to avoid being seen with me. But there's more. I am descended from accident-prone pilgrim John Howland, an indentured servant who managed to fall off the boat during a storm, but was miraculously saved, hand of God and all that. My family was smugly proud of this unearned distinction. I learned early that getting to America before the next guy made you a superior sort of person. Those ancestors who came much, much later to mine coal, hidden in the back room when company called. Thanks largely to Uncle Mitch, the high mucky muck, oops, I mean governor, of the Society of Mayflower Descendants of Pennsylvania. My sister, cousin, and I, along with other suffering children, were, for the benefit of the society pages, because without society pages, how do you know you're someone, trussed into pilgrim garb and trundled over cobbled streets to spend a long Thanksgiving Sunday at Old Swedes Church in Philadelphia. Built in a time of stern religion, Old Swedes was designed for righteousness, not comfort. Seated in hard, straight-back pews, we had the privilege of squirming in a child's version of purgatory, whilst being flogged for a good hour with the fortitude of our forebears. They, we were assured, would have considered pew-sitting a vacation. It was a joyous occasion. One year, we went on a family pilgrimage to Plymouth on, you guessed it, Thanksgiving. We went to Sturbridge Village, too. Seeing the living history displays and landscape was educational. I recommend it. I do not, however, advise Thanksgiving dinner at a less-than-stellar hotel. Though a child, the awfulness of the meal remains etched in my memory. Overlit room, soggy turkey, pallid gravy, canned cranberry, overcooked peas, and skimpy stuffing. Only the potatoes held their own. It's hard to ruin potatoes. As a child, I imagined adulthood came with perks such as controlling one's own destiny. I was wrong, at least where Thanksgiving was concerned. My 30th birthday fell on Thanksgiving. Recalling disappointing birthdays past, I decided to be proactive. I would host my own party. Brilliant! I would be assured dinner companions on my big day. I invited 12 friends. They said yes. I purchased a monstrous turkey. In the days leading up to Thanksgiving, they called me, those friends, dropping out one by one. A family something had come up, or, perhaps, a better offer. By the morn of Thanksgiving Eve, a single guest remained on the roster. This rather sad state of affairs seemed unfair to my guest. I phoned Sage, offering her the option to opt out if she had a more festive alternative. "Oh," she said, "sorry I haven't called. I can't come." Sheesh! Another birthday defeated. I tossed the bird in the freezer and suffered the indignity of calling around to find a dinner I could horn in on. That's how I came to celebrate my 30th birthday with my boss. Good times. From this low point, you might guess it was all uphill. Not so fast. I got married. Our wedding was in September. 2 months later, we headed to New York City to join my new mother-in-law for Thanksgiving. My husband's cousin had gotten us Thanksgiving Eve tickets to Juan Darien at the Vivian Beaumont. How exciting! We decided to have dinner before the show at a Lincoln Center restaurant. Partway through dinner, my mother-in-law started to look pale and clammy. "What's going on?" I asked. "I don't feel well. Please take me home," she ecked out. Maybe not. Thank God we were at Lincoln Center. The restaurant staff called the house doctor. He arrived with oxygen, took one look at my mother-in-law, and called an ambulance. That's how we came to spend that Thanksgiving at St. Luke's Hospital. That heart attack was followed by a stroke on Christmas Eve, which precipitated a move into a New York City nursing home, followed by a relocation to assisted living in Maine, where we could keep tabs on her. Being in a wheelchair meant my mother-in-law couldn't visit our house. It wasn't a matter of a ramp. We could have carried her up the porch steps. None of the interior doors in the century-old home were wide enough to let the chair pass. Thanksgiving at our farm was out. Thanksgiving at a restaurant? Good luck with that. Thanksgiving at the retirement home sucks. It doesn't matter if the food is good. No one wants to be there. Not you, not the staff, and certainly not the residents, making it all the more important to attend. The good news is it's held early so the staff can get home to their families. This means that you too can be responsible for a second Thanksgiving at your house. That's right. Somewhere during the 12 assisted living years, I lost it. I was tired of being the responsible one. My creativity was stifled. I was bored with the meal. I couldn't stand everyone's expectations of me and Thanksgiving one more minute. Perhaps I went a little crazy. My mind wandered from images of pilgrims feasting with American Indians into a fantasy of pilgrims cooking with Indians from India in a culinary collusion. The more I daydreamed, the more inspired I became. Spending a semester at Gujarat University hardly makes me an Indian chef, but at least I had a frame of reference. For the first time ever, I became artistically invested in Thanksgiving dinner. I scoured cookbooks for Indian equivalents of each dish. Bird roasting was a lost cause. I'd have to go American there. But cranberry chutney, spicy peas, curried squash, masala potatoes, and aromatic biryani-style stuffing all sounded good to me. I even went all roti on the cornbread. Pumpkin pie with its traditional spices was a perfect finish. I was psyched. I was energized. I cooked with glee and, I must confess, a wee bit of malice. Thanksgiving at home behind us, we returned to house guests who had been keeping an eye on the turkey. More guests arrived for cocktails. A little wine, a little scotch, a few martinis, a handful of nuts. Before they knew it, it was time for dinner. Ta-da! They sniffed. They looked. They gingerly filled their plates and took a bite. No one died. We were not visited by the ghosts of pilgrim fathers angrily brandishing spectral muskets. Everyone was complimentary in a very restrained sort of way. They asked for more wine. The pie was a hit. Despite its lukewarm reception, that meal might have been my greatest culinary accomplishment. It served its purpose. It fed others while feeding my soul. Best of all, I was never asked to make Thanksgiving dinner again. These days we go to a Thanksgiving potluck hosted by friends. She handles the bird, stuffing, and gravy. He appetizes us with varied versions of his famous hummus. We guests fulfill side dish and dessert assignments with room for personal flair. No pressure, no expectations, just gratitude for food and each other's company. This happy collaboration feels right to me. For the first time in my life, I really enjoy Thanksgiving. Perhaps my pilgrim ancestors are smiling too. After all, their first Thanksgiving was not about family. It was about community. And you can find more stories by Meg Barkley on Medium.com. And if you'd like to hear more stories more often, please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page. And here is my Does This Happen to You? Thanksgiving story. Holiday Pop Turkey Trot. It's 6 days before Thanksgiving, and I'm on my way over the mountains with the boys, my dogs, back home. Feeling the need for a little uplift, I decide to change from the classical channel to something with a beat. Yeah, my music tastes are a little eclectic, from classical to early opera and Renaissance music to standard pop music. About the only music which grates on me is rap and country. Well, not all rap and country, just some of it. My most likable stations are set up, so I punch two and get some hardcore rock. I like hardcore rock, but not in the middle of a Saturday afternoon while on the road. I punch three, the adult hit station, and get Christmas pop music. Really? It's not even Thanksgiving. I punch six, the supposed pop love song channel, and get even worse Christmas pop music. In my opinion, 99% of Christmas pop music is just awful. And this is that easy listening sugar-coated stuff like Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid. This really takes the cake. Not only am I bombarded with Christmas commercials already, but they're starting Christmas pop music before Thanksgiving? On not one but two channels I listen to? Well, there will be no listening to any pop music channels till January, unless I'm in the mood for Van Halen. This binging on Christmas music before Thanksgiving leaves me in a funk. I need a chuckle. Googling a funny Christmas songs takes me to the HuffPost 13 Funniest Christmas Songs You Will Never Hear on the Radio. My personal favorite is the McKenzie Brothers' 12 Days of Christmas. Eh? So, this season, when you've heard Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer for the 100th time, chill and watch Garfunkel and Oates' Present Face or Monty Python's Christmas in Heaven on YouTube. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you had a very happy Thanksgiving. And remember, I'm always looking for great stories. So if you're an author or writer, please contact me if you've got a story you think will fit the Does This Happen to You theme.